fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed, you'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. It is Friday, October 24th, and there's this Friday, and the next Friday is Halloween.
We're a week out.
It's a week, 1 week away from Halloween, and 1 weekend away from being on our Crime Wave at Sea cruise. It's happening
so
fast.
I know. I was thinking last night, I got to get some cruise stuff,
yeah,
some resort wear.
You know what? I've dusted off the Margaritaville Crocs.
Nice.
And I am excited for those. But in the meantime, I got my Halloween costume ready, and I am going to be El Frogbuffa, which is half Elphaba, half a frog. So I wanted to keep on our witch theme. And plus, my nieces are going as a pig and Glinda, respectively. So I get to match both.
I am still trying to get Simon to nail down what he wants to be, because we've gone through Transformer, Demon,
hell yeah,
Dinosaur, Guinea Pig. I mean, like, any day it could be anything. So right now we're on Demon from specifically K-pop, Demon Hunters, but we'll
That's
see.
That's cool. Because isn't Ella something from that movie?
Ella's the tiger, Derpy, which I still got to finish making her costume. So I think I'm going as myself this year.
And honestly, an iconic character. and the same as me, also a witch. So it
there
works
you go.
Perfectly.
Yeah, like, I'm just going to go as myself, and I feel like I'll leave my mark somehow.
Oh, we always leave our mark. Well, if y'all are sitting at home on Halloween night and you have anything else to do or before then, watch Season of the Witch. Go to sinisterhood.com/live shows and you can stream our live show and do a little spooky fun on your own. Mm-hmm. But you better stream it early on Halloween, because that is when it disappears into the dark of night forever.
At midnight.
Maybe
just
not
like
forever.
Cinderella.
Forever. And we're also going to have the night before Halloween, a movie watching party over on Patreon. So head over to Patreon. There will be a poll up by the time you hear this to vote on what movie you want to watch. And we're going to watch it on the 30th at 8:30 p.m. Do a
we're
little movie
get
stream.
Some candy, too. I'll tell you what.
Halloween candy for
I'm
sure.
Bringing some good Halloween candy.
Most definitely. Well, today you have got quite a lineup of stories for us. And several of them mentioned that we had called for stories. So thank you all for answering our call.
As always, thank you for answering the call and for being vulnerable and sharing personal things that have happened to you, like these first couple stories. Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. This first one is from your daughter, Anonymous.
Hello.
Content warning, this story discusses sexual assault. Hi, ladies, longtime listener. I truly cannot thank you enough for being my friends in my ears every week. Your care and dedication to the people in your stories is truly unmatched, which is why I wanted to write in my own story. I just listened to the part one of Vanessa Guillen's story and wanted to write in my own hashtag I am Vanessa Guillen story. I truly wasn't going to, as it's something extremely difficult for me to talk about, keeping details anonymous and vague intentionally. I was a brand new commissioned officer when Vanessa went missing. I remember all of the news articles, billboards, and social media posts. I commended her family for their determination in finding Vanessa. Even though I was nowhere near Fort Hood, I did what I could to help find her. When she was found and the subsequent fallout from her murder and the awareness it brought to the SHARP program, the Sexual Harassment and Rape Prevention Program, as well as the staggering numbers of afflicted service members, my heart was so heavy. I made a promise to myself and others that as a leader, I would not allow the type of behavior that led to her death in any formation I was a part of. I also vowed that I would make it known that I am a safe place to come and report any sort of harassment, bullying, hazing, etc., and to believe anyone. I am proud to say I have kept and followed through on that promise to others throughout my career. There are more good leaders than toxic ones. Unfortunately, the toxic leaders and service members are louder. It's up to the good, strong ones to change that, which is what I'm trying to do. Which leads me to my own hashtag I am Vanessa Guillen story. Do you remember the man versus bear metaphor that was going around the internet? Well, I had my own literal man versus bear option. And let me tell you, I chose the bear, literally. During a training in a rural training environment, our bathroom facilities were located a short walk outside of the barracks where we slept. So to use the bathroom or shower, we had to walk outside. Our training schedule often had us working late into the night and up early in the morning, meaning it was dark out more often than not when we would get the chance to shower. That itself wasn't a big deal. There was one bathroom inside that was technically gender neutral. There were individual stalls that fully closed from top to bottom, so I could use the bathroom in privacy without having to go outside, in case I woke up in the middle of the night and had to go to the bathroom. However, there were many males from units we weren't familiar with in this barracks building, and I wasn't comfortable with the thought of running into a male I didn't know in the middle of the night alone. So I preferred to take the short walk outside to the female-only bathroom. The catch, besides having to put on shoes and walk outside at night to go to the bathroom, there was a literal bear. That's right, there were signs posted all over the area that warned us about a bear that liked to wander into our, quote, residential area because of the chow hall that was nearby. So I had the choice, a random man in the middle of the night in an indoor bathroom, or walk outside and literally take my chances with a bear. I chose the bear every time. I never did see the bear. Unfortunately, while I did choose the bear, man is still the scarier and more sinister predator here. I was one of a handful of females at this training, which, when you look at the statistics of who reports, I had about a 25% chance of being harassed and about a 10% chance of being assaulted. However, those numbers are much higher. As you stated in your episode, 1 in 16 women will be assaulted, but up to 60% will not report. At the end of this training, I was assaulted. I did not want to be one of the 60% that don't report because I had made that promise to myself when Vanessa went missing that I would not allow people who commit such awful acts against another person get away with it. I reported the assault nearly right away, did everything right, went to the hospital, gave my statements to investigators, and went through the whole process. I'm not writing this submission for myself. I want to educate people on the ins and outs of this process from someone who has been there. Know the differences, at least in the Army, between a restricted and unrestricted report. A restricted report allows the survivor access to medical and mental health resources and to submit any DNA collected to the CATCH program, which helps identify unknown attackers. An unrestricted report prompts an investigation, allows for medical services and mental health access, as well as military protective orders. You can initially file a restricted report and then change to an unrestricted. However, you cannot go the other way around. You are entitled to a special victims counsel if you choose to open an investigation, which are military lawyers that specialize in sexual harassment and assault cases. These people are angels and take on an extremely difficult caseload. Use them. Do not talk to investigators without them, similar to not talking to police without a lawyer. They will ensure that you are being listened to, that you clarify any questions that investigators may have, and they make sure your rights as a survivor are protected. I'm still dealing with the emotional fallout from my own case, being looked at funny by others who belong to the same good old boy club, who blame me for ruining their buddy's career, even though the punishment that was ultimately decided on was an absolute joke. See previously mentioned good old boy club. I lost my job and have been working through the issues that had arose in my marriage. Thankfully, I have an amazing spouse who has been there with me every step of the way. I'm now on a path to my dream career as an ER forensic nurse, in which I can help people who went through what I did and be there for them on their worst days. If I hadn't lost my corporate job, I would not have had to do the hard reset that I needed to find this path. Thank you for giving me a space to share my story. Unfortunately, I am not the only one, and I won't be the last. But I want to make sure people are educated on their options for themselves, the friends and family in their lives, and the people they lead. The more awareness we bring to military sexual trauma, the more we destigmatize it. Survivors' voices deserve to be heard, their stories listened to. There truly is strength in numbers. I personally know and believe that I was not the first person my attacker assaulted, but I was the first who reported him. If you have been assaulted, I urge you at least to file restricted. No one besides the SARC will know. You can get help and help others. Thank you, ladies. Here's a photo of my fur children for your eyes only as a palate cleanser and pet tax. They were truly my emotional support animals throughout this whole ordeal.
Well, I can see why. They are very sweet babies, especially this first one with this little baby in his hands.
Oh, man. Is that a golden retriever?
Might be. Is that an otter in his hands, too?
Oh!
A little buddy.
Two wonderful things. And this poodle looking very dapper.
Very sweet. Well, thank you for sharing that story, my darling daughter, Anonymous. And thanks for that info. Like you said, the more options you have, the better. And so if you're at all, you know, well, I don't know, maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. It sounds like restricted. There really is no risk to it other than the SARC would know, but you would be able to, if you choose to pursue something later, you know, you would at least on the front end get medical and mental health services, which is so vital.
Yeah. It's hard to report, which is why 60% don't, because of that fear of retaliation, losing your job, you know, not being believed, being stigmatized, all of those things that Anonymous mentions. It's so important if you can to let others know, especially those in charge. So we can destigmatize it. And so more people know you're not alone. In fact, I mean, just from us covering Vanessa's case and the Freaky Fridays we've heard, there have been so many stories, and we have a very small sample size. So, so if you just extrapolate that out to, you know, a real world scenario, the numbers are real, real high. And the more that we can all stick together, hopefully those can be lowered.
Yeah, and sorry that you went through this, Anonymous, but thank you for not only your strength to help protect other people from this person by reporting him, but now your career as a forensic ER nurse. So when people do come into an ER having gone through what, even something similar to what you went through, they will be loved and believed and cared for. So your future patients, thank you for all of the hard work that you're doing to get on, to be on that path to your dream career. Cause it's not, any career is not easy. Being a nurse is not easy, but being an ER forensic nurse is next level. So thank you for all the hard work you put in.
Absolutely. And good on you for not letting something like getting fired from the military, I don't know if that's the words you use, completely derail everything, you know? In fact, you fought through that and now you have your dream career. And I imagine it is hard on a marriage or any relationship for all sorts of reasons. So I'm so glad you have a supportive partner and that you are such a supportive person yourself.
Absolutely. Thanks for listening and for writing us in. I like whenever we hear from our listeners in general, but then to hear that we have such incredible, strong, brave listeners, it's, you know what? It's makes me feel like we must be doing something right if somebody like you wants to listen to the show. So thank you.
Well, I agree.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
You know what's frustrating? When your makeup feels like stage paint. Either it's heavy, cakey, or it takes 45 steps just to look okay. Half the time, I end up skipping all of it because I don't have the time or energy for all of that.
For real. That's why I was very surprised by Jones Road Beauty. It's Bobbi Brown's clean makeup brand, and it's made for people like me who do not want a 10-step routine. I don't have the attention span for that. Their Miracle Balm gives you the dewy, glowy look, makes it seem like you're naturally radiant, even if, like me, you've had 2 hours of sleep and some cold brew for breakfast.
I love it. I used it last night, wore it on the stream. I swipe on the balm, get their tinted moisturizer. You're out the door. Any of it can be used on cheeks, eyes, lips. It's dewy and not heavy, and it gives you just that like glow look where you feel confident and put together, but it doesn't take a long time and it doesn't get all like caked in to fine lines and stuff, which is always a concern for myself.
Most definitely. Jones Road also has that full lineup of effortless skin-first staples like the Just Enough Tinted Moisturizer. It's a lightweight formula that smooths and evens your skin tone with the perfect soft touch of coverage, hides redness, holler, red face over here. It looks natural and feels like nothing is on your skin. It's packed with skin-friendly ingredients too, so it keeps you moisturized without clogging your pores.
Yeah, it actually improves your skin while wearing it. Instead of working against it, it works with it. Modern day makeup that's clean, strategic, and multifunctional for effortless routines. For a limited time, our listeners are getting a free cool gloss on their first purchase when they use code CREEPY at checkout.
Just head to jonesroadbeauty.com and use code CREEPY at checkout. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that our show sent you.
Well, this next one is from Nikki and is called, quote, "It's your fault." And content warning, this story discusses suicide. Nikki writes, "Hey, I was listening to your podcast about Vanessa Guillen driving to work today, and you asked for some stories. I served 6 years in the Navy, and I was stationed at Fort Eisenhower, Fort Gordon, when I served. While I don't know if it's true or not, it was always said Fort Gordon had an unusually high suicide rate. When I was there, I knew of at least 10. A fellow sailor completed suicide because he was told that since he smoked weed, he would be dishonorably discharged. He would not have been, but he did not know that. The military is full of scare tactics, and this is one of them. After the sailor's funeral on base, all of the sailors were summoned to an all-call, and the chaplain spoke to us. Instead of talking to us about resilience or the tragedy that occurred, the chaplain decided to blame the death of the sailor on us. He said, 'This is all your fault, each and every one of you. You should be looking out for one another, not letting each other commit suicide.' I was absolutely shocked, to say the least. I also knew the sailor who died and was devastated to hear it was my fault. I was old enough and mature enough to realize it wasn't, but it left a huge scar. After the chaplain's speech, we were released, and the very next day, we had another all-call. This time, the commanding officer, as well as different counselors, spoke and apologized. They told us it wasn't our fault, and if we needed to seek professional help, we could. This story is burned into my brain and something I'll never forget. It was one of the first times I realized I need to get the fuck out of the military."
Wow, that is not at all comforting to hear from the chaplain. No. The first group setting that you're in after losing one of your own to be told that is unforgivable. I mean, that's a moment.
Oh, I mean, I would liken it to a form of emotional abuse, telling someone, a group of people, that they're responsible for the suicide of their colleague and friend is atrocious. And of course, Nikki, it was none of y'all's faults. And I'm glad that you were old enough, mature enough to realize that, but still being told that, even if your smart part of your brain knows that, it of course affects you, and as it would anybody. I'm glad the next day they were like, "Well, that was a huge mistake. Yeah. We gotta fucking zip this up," but the damage was done. You can't unring that bell. And what a terrible tribute to the fallen soldier as well, to say, like, to blame his fellow sailors on something like, y'all shouldn't be letting each other, which is an antiquated term, commit suicide anyways. Like, anybody that was like, "Well, yeah, I know he's going to do that tonight, but it's going to happen." That's not how this works, Chaplain. Come on.
Very presumptuous to say that, to act, you know, and act as if, like you said, the gentleman that passed away had said, you know, "I'm going to do this. It's going to be at this time because of this thing." When it sounds like he was nervous about his job and was been told an untrue thing about his discharge. But I hate to hear that there is obviously a lot of mental health issues, and suicide is a huge problem amongst our veteran community. But and especially while they're serving, to think that being dishonorably discharged would be worth your life, when, man, let me just tell you, again, as an Army reject, not quite, but it's like, I don't think any of us would hear, you know, "I smoked weed and I was discharged," that in the modern age, you know, you couldn't make a young person like that understand it back then. But anybody who's listening who might go like, oh God, it's a risk. I might get dishonorably discharged. Most of us won't even know about it. And it won't, you know, your life is bigger than one job description that you had when you were young. So I hate to hear that.
For sure. I try to remind everyone, don't make a permanent decision over a temporary problem, even though it might seem like an insurmountable problem at the time that you're never going to be forgiven or your whole life is going to be ruined. It won't. It will. Mm-hmm. It may suck for a while, but it, you know, like in our first story, you found the path to your dream career after, you know, being the survivor of a sexual assault. So things can get better.
Certainly. That's a great way to put it, is don't make a permanent decision on a temporary, because the world's so much bigger than whatever job you're at or whatever. And fuck it. You know, you might, God knows where you might end up, and you might end up, you know, where you were meant to be in the first place. So thank you, Nikki, for taking that time to share this with us, and good, glad for you that you were able to get the fuck out. It sounds like, especially that base was not a great place to be serving at. And I hope it's currently not still suffering those same, you know, those same statistics.
And when you have a base or the military or any industry where the suicide rate is so high, everybody involved with that and over it needs to take a hard look with a big old magnifying glass and say, what is contributing to this? Because clearly it's something we're doing.
100%. Check the chaplain in this case, because it sounds like if someone went to him for help, I don't know that he'd be the best, given this speech.
Don't tell lies to people to scare them into things, but also, how are people being supported when they report mental health problems? You know, do they not report because they're worried they will get discharged, and you know, then their dream is over?
People whisper about you or whatever. But having like anonymous in the first story, having those commanders that go, not on my watch, we're running a clear thing, everything's above board, report it, and we want to do right by our people. I'm glad to hear that there are more leaders like that as well.
For sure. Well, thank you both for sending in your stories.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
You've probably seen a million ads for hair growth products and thought, sure, like that actually works. I did too, until I found out that Nutrafol isn't like the rest of them. Nutrafol is physician formulated, clinically tested, and dermatologists recommend it.
Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand, trusted by over 1.5 million people. You can feel great about what you're putting into your body, since Nutrafol hair growth supplements are backed by peer-reviewed studies and NSF content certified, the gold standard in third-party certification for supplements.
While so many supplements rely just on ingredient studies, Nutrafol clinically tests its final formulations using advanced hair measurement tools like hair counts and pull tests, so they can track real improvements in growth, quality, shedding, and texture. And it's not just backed by studies. Their research is published in peer-reviewed journals and vetted by doctors, ensuring scientific rigor and reliable results.
Also, adding Nutrafol into your daily routine is so simple. You purchase it online, no prescription required. Automated deliveries and free shipping keep you on track. Plus, with a Nutrafol subscription, you can save up to 20%. You'll have access to free one-on-one naturopathic doctor consults to support you on your hair growth journey. And a Headspace meditation membership is also included.
Couldn't be more of a good package. There's so many reasons that you might need Nutrafol. Stress, nutrition, lifestyle, aging, hormones, premenopause, anybody? Hello. Mm-hmm. And everyone is always asking me, your hair looks so shiny. What do you do? I'm telling you, Nutrafol is the way to go. See thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding in just 3 to 6 months with Nutrafol. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code CREEPY.
Find out why Nutrafol is the best-selling hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code CREEPY. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code CREEPY.
This next one's from Megan and is called Halloween Took a Turn. Content warning, this story discusses domestic violence and suicide. We live in a small town of about 3,000 people. It's quiet, the kind of place where most people don't even lock their doors. I do. I'm not a fool. In the last couple of years, our neighborhood has become the place to trick or treat. Kids from all over the county come to our little town. They load up on flatbed trailers, towed by pickup trucks, and arrive by the dozens. Halloween 2024 started like all the others, with kids at the door by 4 p.m. Our dog, Ruger, from a previous Freaky Friday episode, loves Halloween. He barks every single time someone comes to the door. Unfortunately, our son with autism can't handle the barking, costumes, or constant interruptions. By 6:30 p.m., we ran out of candy and turned off the porch light. At this point, we'd have to buy a mortgage payment's worth of candy to satisfy all the kids. But even with the lights off, the doorbell kept ringing. Around 7, I took the dog into our bedroom, shut the door, and closed the blinds to help calm things down. At 7:30 p.m., I got a call from a friend in another neighborhood. "Hey, are your kids home?" he asked. I told him two were home and one was out with friends. He said he'd just seen my neighbor come out of his house covered in blood, thought it looked like a domestic violence situation, and that a cop was already on the scene. About that same time, my daughter's friend walked up to that very house to trick or treat. She saw the officer and thought his uniform was a Halloween costume. The cop yelled at her to leave immediately. Because of the phone call, I opened my blinds and looked out the window and saw flashing lights coming down our street. Usually, we only have one officer on duty at a time, sometimes just on call. So I was shocked when three patrol cars showed up, followed by even more from nearby towns. At this point, I was full on Mrs. Kravitz and was glued to the window for the night. I was texting my sister minute by minute updates. Within minutes, the street was packed with police cars and kids running away in confusion. I called my daughter and told her not to come home yet. The street was blocked off. Then, a neighbor, whose yard borders the suspect's house, sent an audio clip of police shouting, "Come out with your hands up! The place is surrounded!" This went on for hours. She was panicked in her basement with her kids crying. I texted my husband, who was downstairs, saying, "There are sheriffs outside with assault rifles and night vision goggles." He didn't believe me at first and replied, "There's no way. It's probably just rifles." He came upstairs, looked out, and sure enough, AR-15s. Officers were sweeping the neighborhood. No one ever knocked on our door and told us what was going on. Neighbors started texting each other to make sure their kids were safe. Rumors started flying. We were trying to figure out how to get our daughter home. My husband's idea was to jump the back fence, run through the field, and meet her on the road behind us. How do men survive without us women? I vetoed that idea, and we waited. We'd heard SWAT was coming, but it would be hours. We had a clear view of the house. No one went in or out. Finally, around 11 p.m., the police just left. The street went quiet, as if nothing had happened. What the crap? Are we just supposed to go to sleep? We quickly got our daughter home, stared out the window for a while, and finally went to bed. The next day, when I went for my morning run with Ruger by my side, I noticed three police cars still in the neighborhood, just parked farther back where they couldn't be seen. Other than that, it was business as usual. I ran past the house. No one said a word to me. It felt eerie and unreal. By 11:30 a.m., more police arrived again. They blocked off the road and evacuated the closest homes. Still, no one said anything to us. All the neighbors were texting, trying to figure out what was going on. At 12 p.m., two pickup trucks parked right in front of our house. The tailgate dropped, and a dozen SWAT officers in full gear began piling out. They were from a town about an hour and a half away. They walked 12 wide down the street toward the house, followed by sheriffs, local cops, and highway patrol. SWAT surrounded the home, broke a window, and sent a drone inside. After about 30 minutes, they went in. 15 minutes later, they came back out, but no one was with them. Then they placed a ladder at the first story window and began entering and exiting through the window. At that point, we knew the suspect was dead. The next day, our police department posted on Facebook confirming it had been a domestic violence situation complicated by a language barrier. The first responding officer had managed to get the victim and her mother-in-law to safety outside. He learned that the husband was armed and had fired the weapon inside the home. The wife had life-threatening injuries and was transported to the hospital. SWAT didn't arrive that night because they were tied up with another call. The suspect was found dead from a self-inflicted gunshot wound the following day. I've passed that house thousands of times before this incident. I'd only met the husband once, when he yelled at me for walking my dog. I'd never seen his wife before. But now, the wife has made a full recovery and moved back in. Her family is there with her. The house that was once dark and lifeless now has flowers on the porch, a bench, and laughter in the yard. It's a beautiful sight after such a tragedy.
That is a very horrifying thing to happen on Halloween when, yes. And it even says, thank you for including, Megan, thanks for including the Facebook post, because mm-hmm. it even said it was all complicated by the fact that there were children in the area and they were having to calmly and safely evacuate the area and get the public out. When you have kids thinking, oh, that must be, you know, Mr. Smith in a policeman costume, mm-hmm. a very accurate policeman costume.
Even the man running outside covered in blood on Halloween night. This is like Scream 2 when everyone thinks it's part of the movie and mm-hmm. you're like, no, this is a life-threatening situation.
Yeah.
What a scary night of all nights for it to happen. I am so glad that the woman and her mother-in-law were taken to safety.
Yeah, it looks like it was her mom in the Facebook post. But whoever it was, the victim did not get... She survived and lived.
Yes. And it's a hard thing to reconcile knowing that for close to 24 hours, your neighbor was dead in the house that everyone was like, what the hell is going on over there? But I guess that's how eventually you do it, is you send a drone in to see what's going on. And once you get your answers, then you go in as the police. I hadn't thought about them doing that, but it makes sense.
I know I hadn't either, because it does save you from, I mean, you still have to breach the door and whatnot, but it saves you from the officers from going in and facing down a suspect that's already proven mm-hmm. to be very violent. So I'm sorry for everybody that was in the area that had to be a part of that, talking about the neighbor being in her basement with her kids, you know, sobbing, hearing like come out with your hands up and not knowing what's going on, who's over there. You know, luckily it was just the single person in the house, but especially if you're like, we don't know these neighbors. Yeah. You don't know how many people are in there, what they've been up to or any of that. It's just a lot of the unknowns that kept everybody so terrified. So I'm glad that none of the neighbors were injured or nobody, you know, the perpetrator didn't go out and hurt anybody else.
And your poor daughter, God. I mean, to be separated. I get it, though, for your husband. Not a great idea.
Yeah.
But also, I would be like, I just got to get her back because we don't know what's going on. You just want all your little ducklings at home.
No, absolutely. But yes, running through the field when the police are in the area, not a great idea.
No. And a man with a handgun, too.
Yeah. Let me just take off. But no, I understand the sentiment for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. Well, thanks for sending that, Megan. Sinisterhood will be right back.
Well, the kids had dentist appointments today. All is good, nice. Which made me realize I need to make my dentist appointment. But everything's also going to be all good because I've been using Remy.
Oh, yeah. You can't. Remy, same. I got my Remy right next to my bedside table. So if you're a part of the 30% of Americans who grind their teeth, then your smile needs protection. And there's no better solution than Remy's Custom Fit Night Guard. Both dentists and teeth grinders recommend Remy because a custom fit night guard is the best way to protect your teeth. And Remy is 80% less than the dentist and way easier.
It's so much easier. Here's how it works. You receive your impression kit straight to your door. Remy gives you step-by-step instructions to get your perfect impression. Remy then ships your custom fit night guard made in the U.S. in Las Vegas. Then you get your night guard back and you start protecting your teeth. You don't have to worry about that clenching and grinding. Do you wake up with headaches like I have for so long? Get Remy. It's going to help. So many of those tension headaches are caused by clenching in your sleep and you don't even realize it until you wake up without the pain, like what you've really been living with.
The best part also is that Remy is so confident you get a perfect fit. They offer a 45-night perfect fit guarantee or you get your money back.
No waiting rooms, no overpriced bills, just a better way to protect your teeth while you sleep. Try Remy risk-free.
Go to shopremy.com/sinister and use code sinister to get up to 50% off your night guard at checkout. That's 50% off at shopremy.com/sinister with code sinister. Thank you, Remy, for sponsoring this episode. This next one's from Tessa, and the subject line is "Ask and you shall receive, a haunting in New Hampshire." Hi, spooky mommies. It's the most wonderful time of the year, and I'm answering your call for spooky stories to get us into the Halloween spirit. So buckle up, because this one's a doozy. I'm from New England, land of old houses, foliage, and blind loyalty to our regional sports teams. While I believe in ghost spirits and otherworldly beings, I'm not particularly sensitive to them, so the experience I'm about to share was unusual for me. I went to college at the University of New Hampshire, UNH, and moved to an off-campus housing my sophomore year. Having been founded in 1866, a lot of the off-campus housing at UNH is old colonial-era houses turned apartments. My apartment was in one such home. A quaint yellow house built in the 1800s at the end of Main Street that had been converted into four apartments, two upstairs and two downstairs. My Craigslist roommate and I were the first tenants in the house and moved into one of the upstairs apartments. Our apartment was the only one that was occupied for the first few weeks of school, but it didn't take us long to realize that we weren't alone in the house. It started small. Doors opening and closing on their own and banging from other rooms that we explained away. But one thing we couldn't ignore was the nightly pacing that we would hear in the attic. It sounded like someone walking back and forth between the hours of 2 a.m. and 5 a.m. every single night. After about a week of this, I finally asked my roommate if she could hear the pacing, when she responded with, "Yeah, of course, that's the people who live upstairs." I had to remind her that there was no one else living in the house, and that the only access to the attic was through the crawl space in the locked, vacant apartment across the hall. Things ramped up quickly after that. Windows would open and close on their own, doors would open and slam shut in our faces, and our front door that we locked religiously whenever we left the house would be wide open when we got home. Regular knocking from inside the walls of my roommate's room sent her fleeing to her boyfriend's house of most nights, and rustling sounds from the kitchen became a usual occurrence. I learned to live with my noise-canceling headphones on because if I can't hear it, it's not happening, right? One night, I was taking a shower when my roommate came home, and as usual, she knocked on the door to let me know she was back. I called a greeting to her and could hear her moving things around in the kitchen while she made dinner. Our bathroom door opened to the kitchen. I got out of the shower, opened the bathroom door to see that every single cabinet and drawer were pulled out. The chairs were knocked over. The fridge door was open. Our front door was locked, and my roommate wasn't home yet. The best way I can describe it is that scene from The Sixth Sense. I wish I was exaggerating. That night, I spoke to the spirit. This before I knew any better. And I told them that this was their house and I was only borrowing it. I appreciated them letting me stay here and I promised to take care of their home and leave it as I found it. That night, I had a dream where I was standing in my candlelit living room. Every person we had ever had over to our apartment was standing with me looking down. The only person who wasn't standing was the only one I didn't recognize. Huddled in the corner was a little old woman with pure white eyes, like she was missing the irises. Our eyes met, and I jerked awake, knowing with full certainty that this was the ghost. Things stopped happening to me after that, and they didn't stop for my roommate. My roommate had an intense and negative energy to her, and she'd been the primary target for the spirit since we'd moved in. I'm not saying that any of this was her fault, but I certainly don't think her personality did much to endear her to the spirit. One night, she was banging around our kitchen, raging about the ghost in the house and how fucked up it was that the leasing company wouldn't let us break our lease early because of it. Yes, of course, we had tried to break our lease when things got bad. Mid-rant, a big purple bowl flew off the counter and shattered at her feet. There was no draft, no water on the counter. The bowl wasn't close to the edge. Nothing gave us an explanation for why this had happened. She moved out the next morning, and I got to live alone in peace and quiet for the rest of the semester. Near the end of that year, I was sitting outside with some neighbors who lived in the house next door and ended up sharing my experience with them. Their house was also an old colonial turned apartment building. It turns out they also had a ghost in their house. Every person in that house on separate occasions had regularly seen a little boy with a backpack. He had been spotted at the bottom of a flight of stairs, standing against the shed, in the corner of the basement, etc. He was always facing away from them. No one ever saw his face. They could only see that he was clearly a little boy and that he was always wearing his backpack. I recently moved back to the area where I went to school, and my husband is attending grad school at UNH. I've since learned that the activity in these houses didn't stop when I moved out. It's known throughout the UNH community that these houses are haunted, and the students who live there have these experiences still. Since it's student housing, there's new tenants every year or two. I imagine my grumpy ghost friend does not appreciate the regular turnover of debaucherous college kids in her space, so I'm not surprised that the hauntings continue. I've attached a picture of my house, the yellow one, and the house next door that's haunted by the little boy with the backpack, the gray one. I've also paid the fur baby tax. These sweet monsters are rent-free and mushroom, and they are the light of my life. Thank you for all that you do and for creating such a wonderful safe space in today's chaotic world. Love you both, Tessa.
Tessa, we love you too, and we love these fur babies.
Oh my gosh.
But respectfully, Tessa,
dude,
how are you not going to get haunted in a house that looks like this? This is the gray one with the lamppost is straight out of The Exorcist. Oh, the yellow one has a lamppost too.
Yeah, they all do. They're ready.
Okay. Yeah, these are pure classic haunting houses right here.
Yeah, I was going to say your roommate didn't do anything asking for it, but if you move into an 1800s house, you kind of are though. Because it's like here, I mean, we're from a place where they just demolish it and it's all like
we
built
don't have
up
history
with like,
here. And if we do, it sucks.
It's press board. They just knock it all down. So to be like these same walls that ghosts are walking through,
The same yard that, you know, always, I love that though. I love towns that have history and houses like this, because there is, in this case, maybe not the best energy, but there's energy that lives on within it. But those definitely look like houses that would be in some kind of horror movie for sure. They're beautiful. They also look like ghosts live in them.
Right? It's like, I love this old colonial style. And does it come with a specter? They're like, of course it does. It's a colonial house.
What do you mean? It has a big lamppost in the front yard. Of course it comes with a specter.
Didn't you see the lamppost? You're like, I'm sorry. My apologies for asking. But no, I think your roommate's energy maybe was like feeding it in a negative way too. If she was like stomping around, screaming around, whatever, in some of the, you know, episodes we've covered where it's like a poltergeist, sometimes like a negative, angry energy from a human can help fuel something. But I think you did it the right way, which is what our homie Nelson from the Ghost Guild says. It's like, it's a soul. Like, treat it respectfully like another soul, like if it was a person, and being like, hello, I get it. This is your house. I did sign a lease though, so I do have to stay. I promise I'll be cool. You be cool. I'll be cool. I'll be gone in, you know, 18 months.
Well, I'll be cool.
Yeah.
I just referenced last night that scene from Sixth Sense.
Ooh, it's so scary.
Where all the cabinets and the drawers in the kitchen are open. Also, in that one, you see the handprints of nothing. kind of fading from the countertop. But I know exactly what you're talking about. And if you're in there showering and you think your roommate is home making dinner that you've been talking to through the door, and then you walk out there, and that is not the case, dude. How you stayed another night in that house, you're braver than I could ever be.
Seriously, to open it up and all that shit's open like that? Ah, no. especially because you thought it was your
and
roommate.
And there's no dinner made. God. No,
exactly. You're like, and the door's open. So it's like, now I'm nude out here with the door open. No, just me walking into the kitchen nude. That's fine. Not you. You would never. But I'm glad that you're back in the in New Hampshire. It looks like a beautiful area.
Oh, yeah, dude.
So there's probably plenty of, that's a good thing about New England. I feel like there's plenty of haunted places up there.
Yeah, you'll find another haunted place. Also, maybe go knock on the door of your old literal haunt and be like, you guys, had any experiences here, specifically an older woman with just white eyes.
And
maybe
if so,
your homie will make an appearance.
Like, hello, I missed
tell you. Yeah, tell you hi.
Yeah, and then if they said they did have experiences, go, it's sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday.
Right. Yes, please send it in. And we and then eventually we'll be like, can we go do an investigation at this house?
Let's do an overnight and see if we can get some cabinets open, baby.
Well, thank you for sending that in.
Sinisterhood will be right back. Shopping, planning, and cooking food really can be simple and stress-free. Imagine having your weekly shopping cart filled for you and your meals for the week decided on already. Taking all that work off of my plate is why I love Hungry Root.
Oh, man, it sounds like a dream come true. So after trying it myself, I was honestly surprised by how easy it was. Hungry Root fills your cart for the week with meals and groceries that make sense for you. And they're actually meals that we all want to eat in this family. There's everything from salad kits, smoothies, and supplements to ready-to-eat meals and tons of stuff the kids will eat without complaining.
All of Hungry Root's recipes can be made in just 15 minutes or less. With over 15,000 recipes shipped each week, there's something for every taste and nutrition preference. Whether you're gluten-free, dairy-free, high-protein, focused on gut health, or anything else, just take a quiz and their smart cart technology recommends groceries, recipes, and supplements tailored to your tastes and needs.
Hungry Root helps you save by reducing food waste, avoiding impulse grocery buys, and skipping last-minute restaurant takeout. Their best price program ensures you get great value on over 100 popular products. And with our offer, you'll get a free item like a premium protein, veggie, or sweet treat in every box for life. A free treat every box for life. For life. A free treat for life. It's, I mean, that's my love language.
I love a treat and I love Hungry Root. I do that. The quiz is great because I am gluten free. I work with a nutritionist. So I'd be like, what should I be eating? What should I not be eating? What can help my stomach make me feel better? What do I just crave? Mm-hmm. And Hungry Root has learned my taste. So it will offer me things that I didn't even think to add that I'm like, I could have just wandered around a grocery store and would not have seen this. So I love that, that it caters to me because I'm a princess.
I need to be I've never had anything from them that I don't like. I would recommend everything I had. It's great. And 15 minutes or less, also clutch.
Absolutely. Take advantage of this exclusive offer for a limited time. Get 40% off your first box. Plus, get a free item in every box for life. Go to hungryroot.com/creepy and use code creepy. That's hungryroot.com/creepy, code creepy, to get 40% off your first box and a free item of your choice for life.
HungryRoot.com/creepy, code creepy.
Well, this next one is from our pal Doug in Australia, and the subject line is tear in space-time. G'day, ladies. Doug the Trekkie from Australia writing again. I'm absolutely loving the Freaky Friday episodes. It's fascinating hearing all the amazing stories about people's wild experiences. I was excited to hear my UFO encounter on episode 184. I'm glad you found it interesting enough to share on the pod. I have another true story for you. This one is a bit different. It actually happened to my dad when he was a young boy growing up in Melbourne, Australia. So, in the 50s, my dad was living with his family in a new suburb of Murrumbeena in Melbourne. Unlike the huge metropolis Melbourne is now, back then it was made up of smaller suburbs with lots of farmland and open space between. The story from him goes that one day he was out and about just playing and exploring the area as kids do, or at least used to, when he came upon an open paddock or field, a large expanse of wild grass, gum trees, etc. In the field, there was a group of Aboriginal people. He stood there at a distance and watched them, surprised by their presence, as there would not have been any Aboriginal people living in the area for a very long time. He told of the men walking off as a group with their spears, the women gathered together, busy with some task at hand, children playing. There was also a fire burning. He stood and watched, captivated by the scene. Nobody looked at him or seemed aware that he was there at all, watching at a distance. Then he realized it was silent. No sound at all was emanating from them, from any of them. A scene that should have been full of chatter, of playful sounds, of crackling fire, was dead silent. It was like watching a silent film being projected onto a giant invisible screen. Eventually, he returned home and told his mom, my beloved Nana, what he had seen. She understandably told him that it wasn't possible, as the area had been developed long ago, so it was probably just his imagination. So he returned to the field. This time, it was empty. No people, no fire, just wild grass and gum trees. He looked all throughout for signs of the fire, for footprints, or anything that would confirm what he had seen, but there was no trace to be found. As he grew up with that experience, it stayed with him, much like my UFO encounter has stayed with me. When I told him about my encounter, he instantly believed me. Maybe it was this experience that helped open his mind to things we cannot always explain or understand. He grew to believe that what he had seen was a moment in time, a portal, a tear in space-time, whatever you'd like to call it. It's as if the conditions were just right to replay that scene, a scene of random daily life of those people. The visuals became visible from the position my dad was observing from, but no sound was replaying. How many other times have people seen something quite ordinary, but not known that it's a moment in time being replayed? A person in the street, a rock by a river, a tree in the field? I don't have the answers, but I believe him. It was an experience that changed him and opened his mind to go on to study the nature of the earth, space, and interconnecting sciences. Anyway, that's all for now. I hope you enjoy it. Perhaps I'll write in again one day with some of my ghostly experiences. Keep up the amazing work, ladies, and keep it creepy.
Man, Doug, you just keep coming with the hits, my man. And please do write in with your ghost stories, absolutely, of course. But I had never thought about if we see stuff that could be like a moment from another time, like a rock or like now I'm questioning, am I just looking around at stuff that isn't really here? Does everybody else see that same rock?
Right. I've been having these feelings because of like what this is and what it used to be and like different uses of the land. Because I started reading this book called A Stake in the Prairie about the history of Mesquite, Texas. And a lot of it talks about just like
S-T-E-A-K. Yes.
Yeah, right. Hell yeah. And it's all about Texas Roadhouse. No, but they were talking about different areas that I realized later when I looked at this map that was in the book. I was like, I ride my bike by those because I often ride my bike by creeks because you put a trail near a creek because it's mm-hmm. beautiful or whatever. But also, you know, 10,000 years ago, civilizations were around creeks because yeah. that's where you got. So I was riding my bike the other day and I'm just like looking at this creek and I'm like, motherfucker, yeah, there's dude. A golf course on this now.
And imagine who stepped in that creek.
Yes. Like,
yeah, you know, and what I mean, they did, 1,000 years ago.
And they said, like, the area that now is, like, you know, where this college has been built, there used to be thousands of buffaloes, like, running. There used mm-hmm. to be, like, all these different birds and stuff. And just to hear about the different ecology and what the land looked like and how it was used in different ways, they're like, this had a big, different type of tree that doesn't grow in here anymore. And that wood from that tree was really good hardwood for building. And it got deforested, essentially. Yeah. I'm like, it was a whole different landscape. So yeah. the idea that there might be some type of energetic portal, whether it's conscious, where your ley lines, you know, it's something energy in the earth, or it's some conscious in your brain where you get to see, or it's just your like extreme empathy. That's like, yeah. you're sitting there almost like entranced envisioning, like what have we as a society done and what did it look like?
Yeah.
All those years ago. Fuck.
Fascinating. Yeah.
Man.
Space time and all of that. Blows my mind. It's something I can't think too hard about or I'll just start to spiral out. So, but it's now I'm going to be looking at all these rivers and trees and stuff. I already think that exactly like what you were saying, especially like on road trips or something where we're driving through like just wide expanses of land and prairie and mountains. I think who all rode through those hills and what happened? And like, some of these are the same trees. The trees saw it all.
Mm-hmm. You know? And to say it like, oh, then this group would walk from like what would modern day, you know, Sherman and would walk down to this area near Mesquite. And I'm like, I'm not even trying to drive from Mesquite to Sherman. Godspeed to those who like yeah. hoofed it because yeah. they had, you know, trade days or whatever. Or that's where, you know, they would trade some of their bows and arrows for it because that was what the wood was used. It was called bois d'arc because it was like really good bow and arrow. Anyways, all that to say, if your dad told you how to see through a space-time portal, Doug, would you let us know?
Please let me know.
Send us an email. Let us know how to do that.
Step-by-step instructions.
Fascinating stuff, man. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. You know that hoodie you can't stop reaching for? The one that feels like a second skin, soft, warm, and somehow makes you feel a little more grounded? I found it. And trust me, it's not what you expect. It's called Paka, spelled P-A-K-A. And if you're tired of hoodies that stretch out, pill, or feel heavy, this is the upgrade you've been waiting for.
It's so good. As soon as we started talking about it, I pictured mine in my closet, and I was like, I think I'm going to wear that tonight. Paka makes performance apparel from alpaca fiber, one of the world's most sustainable natural fibers. Their best-selling hoodie is softer than cashmere, warmer than wool, and breathable enough to wear year-round. It's lightweight but cozy, adapts to the weather, and it won't stretch out or pill. This is a hoodie built for real life, thermoregulating, odor-resistant, durable, and made to last.
Each one is handcrafted in Peru with the artisan's name stitched into the tag as a mark of quality and care. Over 100,000 people have already picked up the Paka hoodie, not only because it feels amazing, but because it's made sustainably and ethically from traceable alpaca fiber while supporting the communities that create it. And like you said, yesterday morning, it was like a nip in the air, but it was, you know, it's not like freezing outside. And I was like, oh, I'm wearing this baby today. And when it slides on you, it is like a hug. It's so soft. And I was just like, I can live in this.
Yeah,
it's
and when you live in a place like Texas where it can get hot, but it's also, you know, the cold is like a mild cold. It's perfect. It's perfect for layering, wearing by itself. If you're in a hotter climate, it's just the perfect hoodie. And I can't wait to go slide into mine in a minute.
And it's beautiful too. I got the one that's in green, and yours is, what color is yours?
Navy.
Navy, yeah, and they have multiple colors to choose from, other colors. So I feel like you could also get multiple ones and dress them up, dress them down. Yeah, and
absolutely. It feels good. Right now, when you order a Paka hoodie, they'll throw in a free pair of their alpaca crew socks, also so very soft and comfy. They're maybe the only thing better than the hoodie itself. These socks keep your feet dry, resist odor, feel insanely cozy, and even come with a lifetime guarantee. If you've been waiting to upgrade your hoodie game, this is your sign to do it.
Grab your Paka hoodie and free pair of alpaca crew socks. To grab your Paka hoodie and free pair of alpaca crew socks, head to go.pakaapparel.com/creepy and use our code creepy. That's go.pakaapparel.com/creepy and enter code creepy. Well, this final one we've got is from Brandy B, and the subject line is UFO sighting update. It happened again. Hi, ladies. I wrote in not long ago about seeing 3 UFOs in 4 months, March to July. I was so excited about my story making it on the show that I shared it with my close friends and family with the disclaimer of, I know this sounds weird, but my mom, sister, dad, and cousin were all on board with my paranormal experience. My stepdad, not so much. Last weekend, he and my mom came to stay at my house, and he told me that I probably saw a drone. I was emphatic that it wasn't, but how could I prove this? I was alone every time I saw the light in the sky, whom my husband, let's call him N, and I now refer to as my friends. That is, until yesterday. There, me and N were, driving west down Highway 12 from our small town toward Berkeley for a concert, chatting it up and talking about life. I was driving, and he was playing DJ per usual, when I saw the light. Again! I stared. A plane? A drone? No. I pointed, speechless. It had appeared out of nowhere. This time, a more horizontal oval shape, shining in the clear, bright blue sky. Had not rained, and wasn't going to, and there were no clouds. Not one little cloud in sight. As I pointed and started to tell N, there it is! It was gone, vanished and disappeared into nothing. Did you see it? It was there, I exclaimed. He did not. Ever calm and logical, he said, you're the only one that can see it. I asked again if he was sure. I pointed to where it was and described what I saw. He told me he was looking at the sky, same spot and no bright light. I was shook. Seriously? This happened when I was with someone. On a different road, a different town, different direction, different time of day. I had all the questions and instructions you gals had given me in my head for tracking my sightings. And there it was, and I alone had seen it. N said that some people can just see these things and equates it to seeing into an unseen realm, or akin to seeing a ghost. You guys, I don't know what is going on, but this is getting stranger and stranger. Any new theories?
Well, this dovetails nicely with the one right before this. Perhaps, Brandy, you are just seeing another thing. But pragmatic Capricorn Christie is here to weigh in and say, also go to an eye doctor and truly, maybe a neurologist. And I'm not being funny because you never know what can happen. Then you're like, oh, that was actually, maybe I should get this looked at if nobody else can see this. And if they're like, no, you're good to go. You're like, all right, cool. Well, I get to see aliens. And that's dope as fuck.
Yeah. Go make your neurologist appointment, make an ophthalmologist appointment, and then get the book UFO of God by Chris Bledsoe. Because that's kind of like, it was his problem too, is that he would be driving with someone and it's like, you can see that big yellow orb, right? And then sometimes people would be like, you just blinked. Like he would think something had lasted a really long time. Mm-hmm. And then it wasn't. And then eventually later on, other people in his family and stuff have been able to see it. His daughter is quite active on TikTok now and shares a lot of pictures, videos and stuff like that from her family and their experiences. But that's kind of his story from going, I'm crazy. Like I'm losing my mind. Yeah. Something's wrong with my brain. But definitely rule out like, not quite like a floater, but something similar, like any kind of ocular interference. Like you want to know about that. Once that's clear, then, and at least, you know, if you have the appointment, you can read the book in the waiting room.
There you go. It's like when people have a lot of paranormal reports, people tell them, check your carbon monoxide detector because like stuff like that really can make you kind of hallucinate. If you're the only one that's seeing this, though, and you're good to go, the next step is contact.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you do see it, and I think he talks about it in UFO of God, kind of like trying to focus on it and not quite communicate, but being like, don't leave. I'm watching you and I'm safe. You. Like, don't leave. Yeah, I see you.
Game they see you game. Too. Don't worry. They're looking back at you, boo. Like,
we already know. We know only you can see us and we're going to gaslight you and make all your friends turn on you. No, I'm kidding. At the end of the day, at least we believe you. But definitely, that's why we, our second shout out to our friends at the Ghost Guild. But that's why we like it, is it's not denying the potential of a paranormal experience to rule out earthly things. And so it actually helps bolster your experience. So by merely ruling these things out, on best case scenario, there's nothing wrong. Worst case scenario, you need glasses or something, and that's fine too.
Well, yeah, as far as new theories, that's it. Keep tracking it if it happens, for sure.
And write them down, like dates, times, and locations, just to have, you know, in case you do, you know, report it to, I don't know, some sort of UFO organization.
Yeah. You got to call MUFON. Get them on the case.
Somebody. Yeah.
Well, thank you to everybody who sent in your stories for Freaky Friday. We so very much appreciate it. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday. Speaking of freaky, have you got something creepy caught on camera, found a weird or unexplainable clip online? Maybe you just have a funny video you want us to see. We'll send it our way and we'll live react to it during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream over on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. It's totally free. You just enter your email, you get immediate access to the chat and immediate access to an entire backlog of free content that we have on our Patreon just for signing up for free.
I'm still thinking about Jeff Goldblum as the big bad wolf from Sunday Scaries. Ridiculous.
He's like, can huff and puff and blow my house down if he wants to. That's 100%. All I'm saying.
Yeah, baby.
Well, if you like our free episodes like this one, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next, or dive into over 1,000 hours of content like Judge Christie, where I rule on petty grievances you bring before the court. True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime. Heather Saves, or anything Heather has found late night scrolling could be discussed. And Emma the Asshole, Unpopular Opinions, and other subreddits that we feel require our input. Tommy dropped last night during the stream. He sneaky dropped a Judge Christie. And then today, a new mini-sode just dropped. So
yeah,
it's a good time.
It's a good time to try a 1 week free trial where you join for a week at any of the tiers. But I would say go ahead and join at the highest tier so you can check out all the perks, including our bonus content live stream that we just did. You can watch that on demand. It was all spooky Halloween related things. And speaking of things I'm thinking about that candy dish. The flesh candy dish.
It was all Halloween, spooky, Am I the Assholes, and they did not disappoint. And there's visuals.
Oh,
not
yes.
Of, well, I'm not going to say not of the ass. It's not of the assholes, but there's some visuals of something.
There's something on there. So go over to sign up for a 1 week free trial. But if you stick around, be sure to do a annual subscription so you get a month for free. And when you do stick around, you get all kinds of perks like
ad free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, and quarterly live bonus content, weekly audio bonus content. Also, for just being a free member, you get monthly audio bonus content sent to you from the archives. You get mini-sodes, merch discounts, and a community of the best listeners on the whole internet.
Head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out merch like t-shirts, mugs, tote stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show. Thank you so much to everyone that's left 5 stars and kind words. You can submit topics and cases you'd like us to cover, submit your things for Freaky Friday and Sunday Scaries, and you'll find fun things like topic-based playlists and just a few tickets left for Crime Wave at Sea 2025. It is literally happening in like 2 weeks. So it's now's like the time to activate. If it's going to happen, you got to do it now.
Yeah. If you're already in Fort Lauderdale, you're like halfway there. You just walk on over the terminal. And you can also get Season of the Witch for one more week until it is it sails away on its broomstick on Halloween night. So stream that. They're both over on our website. Follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us on YouTube and TikTok at Sinisterhood Podcast. Watch clips from the episodes, live streams, and more. And if you're looking for a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, or you just want to treat yourself to a pep talk, book a cameo now. From happy birthday to birth announcements to everything in between, we would love to help celebrate anything with you with a customized video that can be immediately viewed and sent. It's a thoughtful gift. It's perfect. You don't have to go out, get it, shop for it. And you know, it's 100% custom, and it's not going to be, even if they've gotten a cameo before, every cameo is new. And we did a tarot pull on a cameo last night. We also had a request for a studio tour. So had the first studio tour we've done. So ask and you shall receive on Cameo.
And through October 25th to the 31st, there is a special running on Cameo where cameos are $25, which is a great deal. So if you've been waiting to get one for yourself or someone else, you just want to say happy Halloween, this is kind of our season. So we are happy to do whatever within reason you request in the little box on Cameo.
Whatever you request within reason. But yeah, like Christy said, it's Saturday, October 25th at 11 a.m. and it ends Friday, October 31st, 11:59 p.m. Central time. So just that little spooky window week before Halloween. Where can people find you on the internet?
I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm on the internet at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
Sinisterhood.